Turn in your Bible while you're standing to Revelation 13, and let's read together out loud verses 1 through 10. Revelation chapter 13. Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear, his mouth like the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. So they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, "Who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" And he was given a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies, and was given authority to continue for 42 months. And then he opened his mouth to blaspheme against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. And all who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. He who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Now listen as I read the remainder. And then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth. And he had 2 horns like a lamb, and he spoke like a dragon. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. He performed great signs so that even he makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. He deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he has granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and he lived. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no one may buy anything or sell anything except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Lord, we ask for your Holy Spirit to just stir our souls up, that you would just get us out of any quagmire or anything we're being pulled down into in our lives, that we could rise up above it and see that the end of the world is here. And we would like to ask that you would open all of our minds, that we would see the future. And as we see so many things unfolding around us, it's obvious you're ready to come back. We want to be ready. But in the meantime, Lord, we want to help our family and our friends and the people we love and work with and go to school with come to know you. So we need you to give us your wisdom. Now show us this person, this 666, Lord, and show us how close we are. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're going to just pick up right here at verse 1, chapter 13. We studied this in our last message. And by the way, we'd like to welcome everybody who's watching live around the world right now on the internet. We say hello to you. And for those of you who don't know, we're building the Horizon Broadcasting Network. And we're on the air right now live at KSRD in St. Joseph, Missouri, that covers Kansas City and big area there. So we'd like to say hi to all those folks. And we're on in Delphi, Washington, which covers our network there is Spokane and Tacoma and the fringes of Seattle. Hello, if you're out there listening, say hi to them. Say hi. Go ahead. Yeah, there you go. And you're missing the weather in San Diego. But stay there because our houses keep going up in price. Then I stood on the sand of the sea. I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And on his horns, you want to note 10 crowns being the authorities. And on his head's blasphemous name. And we looked at Daniel, and we looked in Revelation, and in the New Testament, we realized these are power structures. This is government rising up. Now, we also know that the scriptures have told us, and as we look in the coming weeks, we'll go back over it, the old Roman Empire is going to be revived, and a Caesar is going to rise up. That's what this beast is. He's going to rise up over the old Roman Empire. The second beast that I started reading about in verse 11 is the Antichrist's best friend. He's the false prophet. And what they're doing here is trying to have a false trinity: Satan the Father, the Antichrist the Son, and the false prophet, or the worship leader for the Antichrist and his religious arm, is supposed to represent the Holy Spirit. So this revision of the Roman Empire would come up in the last days. Now, if this were 1948, 1958, or 1968, we'd all be saying, mm-mm. We know that the nations that made the old Roman Empire are back together again through an organization called the European Economic Community and the Western European Community. These horns, these heads, have risen, and they're alive in your lifetime. They're right here, right now. When John saw this in 90 AD on that volcanic island of Patmos, 91 years old, he didn't have any clue of what this would be. He just wrote it down so those of us that are alive and have an ear to hear would realize we're living at the time this is unfolding. Now, the world is in a spiritual flux right now with a new pope, 1.1 billion Catholics in the world. And the world is printing it up in all the newspapers, pages after pages after pages. Now, the Roman Empire is where the Roman Catholic Church, of course, rose from. So you're living in a very, very interesting time, to say the least. And if you keep your eyes peeled in the newspapers and your Bible open every morning as you're getting ready to go to work or school, you're going to just see the world in a whole different way. So here come these heads rising up, and then the horns and the crowns that are on these horns, these princes or governors or leaders. And then in verse 2, the beast which I saw, he describes him. And these descriptions are all animals. That's why the word beast is used here. But each one of these animals could be somewhat a picture, like the Greek Empire, the Media-Persian Empire, the Roman Empire, a leopard, swift, a lion, powerful. You've got them all right here. The beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear. His mouth like the mouth of a lion. And the dragon, who is the devil, gave him his authority, his power, and his throne. So I'd like you to note that. Three things were given to this man, to this quote-unquote beast, because he's not human at this point. He was given three things: all of his power, all of his position on the throne, otherwise his political prowess, and all of his authority, otherwise whatever he said would have to be done. All of it was given by the devil. Now you may say, well, why the devil? Why not God? Because of this. The devil rebelled against God. And as you'll see as we get to the end of this book, he saw that God condemned him, and he took his angels, a third of them, millions of them, to our planet and set up a system behind the scenes to possess and control men and women and children, and to set up the education system and the communication system and all the systems, the money, the banking, everything, and then to let the people of this planet think that they're free and they're living like life should be. But we're not free. You are if Christ is in your heart. But if he's not in your heart, you're not free. But the masses of the world are not free. We're manipulated, completely manipulated. So Satan came to Jesus to tempt him. And in one of the temptations, you'll remember, he took him to a high point at the temple and opened up all the kingdoms of the world and says, I'll give you all of these if you'll just bow down and worship me. And Jesus, thank God, rebuked him and said, you only worship the Lord our God. That's the only person we bow our knee to. Because Satan has the authority over this planet. Jesus said, the prince of the air comes, but he has nothing in me. He's the prince and power of planet Earth. He is the guy that actually says what's going to happen on this globe. Accept it or not. It all comes. It doesn't come from the White House. It doesn't come from the United Nations. He's behind the scenes using people and demons that look like people, because in 1 Corinthians it tells us that Satan transformed himself into an angel of light, and it's no wonder that his spirits, his angels, can transform themselves into ministers of righteousness. So they can look like people, and you wouldn't know it. And they can jump into religion, they can jump into politics, and then they start manipulating people to cast their votes. So it's very important for you to realize the devil has given this power, and the devil's power has always been used to abuse you and your grandparents, and all the way back to the Garden of Eden, to your children and grandchildren. You know, I was at a banquet the other night, and Sheriff Colander said, you will be dead, your children will be dead, and your grandchildren will be dead before we get a hold of this terrorism problem. See, most people don't know that. I'm telling you because I was there and I heard it in my own ears, and I get briefed now and then on these kind of things and understand on a national level the real issues that are out there, but they can't tell us publicly because it's going to scare the dickens out of people and people will flip out. Well, this guy is going to help everybody flips out so he can come down with strong fists and crush them. So the terrorist issue is a big issue. It's a tremendous issue. In our city, we know that just a mile and a half down the street, in the Balboa Apartments down here, were two of the pilots that flew the plane into the towers. And they were in this mosque, and they might have even scouted out this place. They were right down the street. And you can't live any longer not seeing that you are living in the midst of a spiritual war, and the pressures you are feeling are not your sinuses, it's the devil. He's after you. He's bad after you because Jesus said, or it says in the Revelation, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. The devil is angry because his time is short. You see, he's always lived in eternity, and that's where you're going. He was kicked out of eternity to time, and that's where you are. And he realizes for the first time there's a day that it's all going to be over for him. You realize being born again, there's a day that it all began for you and it's never going to start. He's really angry because you're going to be where he was and his pride got him kicked out. Don't let your pride keep you out. Surrender to the Lord and follow him and give all of yourself and all of your being to the King and serve him and watch him do some wonderful things with you and through you. So the beast looked like a leopard, feet like a bear, mouth like a lion. And the dragon gave him the three things, the power of the throne, great authority. And then I saw one of his heads if it had been mortally wounded. So this government leader, this world leader, is going to have an assassination attempt on him. And he's actually going to get hit. Now the word that is used down here a little further is healed by the wound of the sword. If you get out your Strong's exhaustive concordance, you will see that word sword literally means military weapon. So a simple way to look at it, you know, is that he gets shot in the head and everybody just marvels and wonders, how did that happen? Well, how many times in our lifetime do we see John F. Kennedy getting shot in the head in the back of his limousine on the History Channel or some other channel? I think any of you that were old enough to be cognizant the day that John Kennedy was shot, you knew exactly where you were when that news came out. That was just unbelievable for our generation. The president of the United States was assassinated, and he was a young guy. And, you know, a handsome guy, had a beautiful wife. And it was a whole new era of music and for the baby boomers. We were just looking to this guy to be our savior in a way. And then somebody shoots him in the head. Now, if John Kennedy had come back alive, oh my goodness, there isn't anybody on the planet that wouldn't have followed him. So this is part of the devil's plan. He lets his son get wounded or shot, and everybody's a bit depressed. Say, wow, how did they break through his security? This guy's so powerful. And then miraculously, he raises from the dead with the devil's power, and the world says, this must be the guy. We will bow to him. So he had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world marveled and followed the beast. So in one sense, if you were alive and you were one of these people, you'd be in wow. You'd be in awe. Just wow. Can you believe that? Now when you realize that the mass of our country, just thinking of our country, well, let's just take our city, sixth largest, seventh largest in America. Good majority are stoned or drunk all day and all night. One out of every 10 drivers in California is drunk, day or night. That's the facts. That's the statistics that you can get from the California Highway Patrol. One out of every 10 driver that you pass is drunk. That's why you have to be on the defensive. So this generation is just out of its gourd, and they're not paying attention. They're headed right to a dead end, go over the cliff into the pit of hell, and they'll wonder, what in the world happened? They're marveling, which means they're a little bit stunned. How did this happen? But no matter how it happened, everybody seems to be following. I'm going to join the crowd. If you're a crowd follower now, and you're not an independent thinker where you can think about the things of God and truth, you're going to follow that crowd just like it was greased for you to slide right into hell. You need to realize that nobody cares about you, basically, on this planet, except for God and maybe your mom and maybe your brother or your wife or your husband or something like that. But when it comes to you dying, you're a memory. And the devil wants you to learn now to be a follower. And if you're following MTV or VH1 or porno channels or late night cable, you're already programmed to be in this group that marvels and follows. You've got to clean your act up. You need to get your soul pure, your mind clear, your heart emptied of the trash, and let the blood of Jesus Christ cleanse you of all of this so that you can go, whoa, I'm free. That's right. Jesus said you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And whom the Son sets free is free indeed. So this crowd right here in verse 3 that's marveling is a crowd that can't think for themselves. It's the whole world, it says. They're not thinking for themselves. The Epicurean delight, eat, drink, and make merry, for tomorrow we die. So just have it all now as you can, you know, charge up all the bills you can. Now, isn't it interesting that we're told that Social Security is bankrupt, so retirement's out there, and for those of you that are a little bit younger, you're hearing just on the fringes of your mind because you're not paying attention, that you might be able to invest some of your money and not have the same Social Security problem when you get older. But yet, they're only going to guarantee you 2 to 3%. And who gets all the rest of that money when they're making 10, 12, 14, 16%? They don't tell you that part. But you're looking to some sort of retirement, but then today, the president just signed a document that the bankruptcy laws were just radically changed, and that you're not going to be able to take bankruptcy on everything. Now, stop and think slowly here with me. On 9/11, we died as a nation. We were bankrupt, and the rest of the world went with us. But very cleverly, the people that are in control dropped the interest rates drastically. And while our president and his team went and took the war to their backyard and got it off of our streets, and they're fighting it in the desert, not on Garnett or Grand, he took it there very wisely. But what happened? The interest rates got so low, people said, now we can buy houses. Oh, well, we'll buy those houses at 3% adjustable rate. But the houses were 150 or 200,000, but because the rates were down, all the builders said, let's jack up the prices. And so they went overnight from 150 to 400 to 500 to $1 million, tracked homes all over San Diego for over $1 million. Now, husband and wife goes in. Two singles go in, they go downtown, they buy a condominium for $800,000, they go out to, you know, somewhere East Lake or something, buy a house for $700,000, and they're paying an adjustable rate of 3.5, and they say, we can make this. But you know, the adjustable just jumped to 5.5. And the difference between 3.5 and 5.5 on a basic loan is about $446 a month. So now next year, if it jumps 2%, those that were paying down here are now going to be paying $1,000 more. In the meantime, your taxes are going up and the interest keeps going up. There's going to be all sorts of houses and bankruptcies falling out of this fake economy that pulled us through the 9/11 disaster. But wisely, the government said, let's change the bankruptcy laws. So the group that has no retirement just took all their money and put it into these big houses. They're going to lose it all, and it's going to be horrible. If you're not watching and you're not listening, you are a follower of the great deceiver, and you're going to lose it all, especially your soul. And that's the worst thing. You need to save your soul with Jesus Christ. So they followed the beast. They actually become beastites, you know, ites, I-T-E-S, the ites. They're following the beast. These are the Beastie Boys, actually, right here. You got it. They're Beastie Boys. So they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast. See, that's what it is. He gave the authority. So he transferred his authority and let this guy be out in front in the physical. And they worship the beast, saying, now look what they say. Who? Big capital W, pronoun. Who? Any person alive? Who is like the beast? There's nobody like this person. Nobody at all. There's nobody in the media. There's nobody in entertainment. There's nobody on steroids. There's nobody in athletics. There's nobody in the business world. There's nobody in politics. There's not a human being alive. Everybody marvels. Who is like him? Is there anybody that has a personality that stands out greater than this person? So you realize when the authority of the devil was given to him, something happened to this man. Who is able to make war with the beast? Now, the question is raised here, who said anything about war? There wasn't even an issue about war. But it does tell us, if we read between the lines, that this person is going to have some military power that we don't know about. And it is going to be so powerful that even if there are Minutemen or militia groups or rednecks or any kind of person that says, we're fighting this world system, who in a nation stance could go against him? Who as an individual? He's already raised from the dead. So he's got this super, super natural power. Who's able to make war with him? I wanted to show you in verse 4 also, they worship the dragon who gave the authority to the beast. And this is the purpose of his throne to sit on. This man's whole purpose in life is to point people to the devil. That's what it's all about. That's why the devil chose him, because he knew that he would point them to him. But don't forget, he was shot. The Bible says, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. This man died on the operating table, I'm sure, or in the street with his brains hanging out. But Satan stepped inside the body. Do you remember, we saw it a few Sunday mornings ago in the Gospel of Matthew, the guy that had the demons in him, and he was so powerful that they bound him up with chains, and he would break the chains, and he would take rocks, and he'd cut himself. He was suicidal. And when he saw Jesus, he ran and fell at his feet. And then the demons spoke through him and said, don't just throw us away. He cast them out and says, throw us into those swine, those pigs over there. And so Jesus said, okay, go into the pigs. And there was this herd of pigs over there, and they possessed the pigs, and 2,000 of them went over the cliff and drowned. They committed suicide, that the demons made them go insane. So it shows you again, as many other places from the Old through the New Testament, demons need bodies to possess to be able to function in this realm. They can be behind the scenes, and they can be in the air and spirits, and they can talk and they can whisper. They can inspire a movie director. They can inspire a songwriter. They can inspire the person that funds abortion. They can inspire people. But to really get their job done, they need to jump inside of a body. And you know what? If you get stoned, you are opening your mind and your soul so that they can come in. If you're prone to be a drunkard or you give your body to other people, you don't know who you're giving your body to. It could be a demon inside of a good-looking woman or a good-looking guy, and you've just linked up, and now all of a sudden that power has grabbed a hold of you. Talk about having a bad relationship. Wow. These guys are wicked. They are wicked. And so it is getting more wicked that they're coming out in the open marching in our streets, ladies and gentlemen. They are wicked. They are violent. They are murdering more than a million of just American babies in their mommy's wombs. These are vicious, wicked. They hate human beings because they know that the human being was made in the image and the likeness of God. And they know that the human being is going to have a new body and transfer to heaven where they were kicked out by God. You know, this whole battle of the cross of Mount Soledad. An atheist that doesn't believe in God is worried about an emblem of people that do believe in God? It doesn't make sense, does it? So you know that there's an agenda behind that. It's the devil. Anything that will remind any generation that there was blood shed for the sin of mankind, that you could be free from his control, he wants it removed, and he wants it removed right now. While the church and the world go on playing their games of living, he just keeps shredding and shredding all the truth in his big document shredder until finally everybody's going to follow him. It's hard to believe, but it's coming. It's coming very soon. Who's able to make war with this beast? Now, It is interesting. There probably is somebody that could make war with this beast. I just want to talk about a gentleman right now, and I'm not in any way saying that this is the Antichrist. Please, I wouldn't want to say that about anybody. I'd like to witness to him first. They worship the dragon. So when the serpent came to Eve and seduced her in the Garden of Eden, the word there for serpent is the same Hebrew word that was used for dragon. Why do you think we have Puff the Magic Dragon and all the movies for kids with dragons? There probably were dragons on the earth at one time. For whatever reason, they're not now. All of Asia is covered with the emblem of the dragon. I remember in 1978 when we were, I think, one of the very first American people to go into the Forbidden City in Beijing. And the first thing I noticed when we walked across that huge expanse and up the stairs to the throne room and stepped into the emperor's throne room, there was a dragon that started right at the throne and went all the way around that room. He controlled the emperor that sat on that throne. And all of Asia has the dragon, except for the Philippines. And the Philippines have the Pope, the Catholic Church, the Gospel of Jesus Christ, except down on the south end of Mindanao, one of their many, many islands. The Muslims have landed, and they're working their way up, and they're slaughtering pastors and Christians and anything to do with Jesus Christ. And they're wanting to take over the Philippines. And they're in Indonesia, the largest group anywhere, and they're trying a pincer movement all throughout Asia. They want to control the world. And we are so weak, we don't see that they have a battle strategy. Now you need to open your eyes, because this dragon, the Dagos is the word, was cursed by God. And what was his curse? Do you remember? Onto your belly, all the days of your life, you'll eat of the dust of the earth. Remember? And that was his curse. Get down. And then he started dancing. But he'd get down. And that's just what happened at the end of the age when he kicked Satan out of the heavens. Get down to the earth. He's going to grovel on the dust and remember for eternity that man was made from the dust, but it is only the Spirit of God that breathed into the nostrils of Adam that gave him the breath of life, and he became a living soul. So Satan's judgment is always to remember that you have the spark of eternal life available to you, and that you were made from the dust, and you are nothing except for what God makes you into. That's pretty humbling for us. But can you see the judgment upon that old snake? You see, he was up. Get down. Probably had legs. He talked. He was beautiful. I mean, what woman in this room would you want to go talk to a snake? I mean, it just wouldn't be normal. He had to be very beautiful. Probably had a Liberace jacket on or something, you know, and sparkled. And who knows? So note that the whole world worships the devil. And we say, how could that be? Well, it is. It's happening now all over our country. And I remember Channel 10 years ago with Leonard Villarreal did a special, and they found out with the San Diego Union that there are more witches in San Diego County than there are clergymen. He is called the dragon, and it's here where the power comes from politically for this world leader. It's here from the dragon. No one on earth has ever seen this person or ever been like this person ever. And he had a great mouth to speak. It says in verse 5, given unto him a mouth speaking great things. This man has the power to speak, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you pick up on it, but to all the nations, to all those heads and all those horns, which are the rulers over those nations. He has the power, one voice, to speak to them all. But he's misusing his power. And you and I can misuse our power if we try to turn the attention to ourselves, try to turn the attention to the devil. We try to turn the attention to our flesh. We try to turn the attention to the things of the world. We get the accoutrements of the world, and we're really saying, look at me. Don't I worship myself well? And this man is the epitome of a fallen man. Note, in today's world, men have great power to do things, but not to speak for the nations. For instance, this gentleman, his name is Javier Solana. And Javier Solana was born July 14, 1942. In 1995 to 1999, he was the NATO Secretary General. But it's interesting that he fought against NATO and protested against and marched against NATO and wrote against NATO. And from 95 to 99, he ended up being the powers that be, gave him the authority to be the Secretary General. And that both the European Union and the 10-nation permanent member Western European Union. He was the general over them both. He also holds the title of High Representative for the Common Foreign and Security Policy of the EU, European Union, a position that was created just like the beast has a position given to him by the dragon, created by the European Union's Council of Vienna. And in December 1998, they encoded in section 666 of the Europa archive documents that he would be the leader over all of this power. He's an undergraduate degree in chemistry. He has a master's degree from Great Britain. He has a doctorate in physics. And he is known to enjoy saying, quote unquote, "In a previous incarnation, I worked as a professor in solid state physics." Isn't that interesting? In a previous incarnation. But what are we talking about here? A guy that's shot, dies, lives, has powers. This guy knows how to move things around. The world is one big physics experiment. The Clinton White House once announced in a press conference that Javier Solana was the fulfillment of Dr. Henry Kissinger's long state wish to have only one phone number to ring up for Europe. Just one person he had to talk to and not go to all the different nations. This guy has a lot of power. A lot of power. Now, when you read the book of Revelation, as we have been, this guy has a great mouth, given speaking great things, blasphemies. He had authority to continue for 42 months. Now, so for 3.5 years, whoever this world leader is, he's got this time to capture everybody's imagination. And we know that there's a 7-year period of history that is missing in Bible prophecy. From the Old Testament prophets, especially from Daniel, he prophesied the exact day that Jesus Christ would come into Jerusalem, where the people would be crying out, "Hosanna, Hosanna." He prophesied that there would be 490 years of prophecy and 483 are fulfilled. And then they come to the New Testament. It begins to tell us in Revelation about 7 years of an Antichrist and a dragon ruling the planet. Isn't that interesting? So this is what I found interesting. In this document, numbered 666, was given to an office so that this man that we just discussed is in charge of the European Union security, and he will have the use of the EU army in the year 2010. They will have their own army. Do you know that we have Germans, Dutch, and other European nations training in the United States on our soil? Do you know that? They've been here for a long time. Foreigners in their uniforms on our soil. You see, if anything ever comes down, it would be easier for a foreign army to take care of the populace than it would its own army. And if you were to resist, a person from outside the United States could care less, whereas somebody inside the United States would say, "Hey, we're brothers here." You see, they're here now. So here's this army that we're being really not told too much about, that in the year 2010 it'll be up and running, and one man will be in charge of the security and the army, and one of his jobs is to make 7-year agreements with all the nations that ensure the EU's interest. That's what this 666 agreement is. He's going to make 7-year contracts and pacts with people. The EU in Europe is the revised Roman Empire. The countries are just the same. He'll come from Europe. We're told about this man in other portions of the scriptures. A peace treaty will be signed for 7 years. And it is interesting that this Javier Solana made a peace treaty with Israel in one of his positions at NATO. He knows how to talk their language and to sign them up for different things. And during this time that the Antichrist will be around, a third of all the planet will be wiped out, 25% of all the world population. When it settles down, another 33 and a third percent will be wiped out, and then a third of all the fresh water is gone. We saw that when the seals were opened in chapter 6. So somebody's going to come along and they're going to understand the things of science, and they're going to say, "Hey, we need to stop this over here, but we need to have power and security and military." And it is interesting that there's a man that's alive today. The EU has an interesting thing. They have filled out and prepared a 7-year financial budget for the old Roman Empire. It's designed to be only 7 years. So Solana has been asked and tasked, they say, with drawing up a new funding instrument that will take over when the European Union's new term begins on January 1st, 2007. They'll have a 7-year pact, and they will readjust it at 3.5 years. It's just interesting. I'm not saying this is it, but let's get out of here quick. Basically, this guy that's alive now, and I am not saying, Mrs. Solana, that your husband's the Antichrist. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, can't you see right before you? I'm just reading some facts from some bloggers and different people here about a guy. He is going to be a super foreign minister and commission of the vice president, and its goal of this whole thing that he's going to be in charge of, called the neighborhood instrument, called the European Neighborhood Instrument, that'll be for 7 years. They'll readjust it after 42 months, 3.5 years. It's all in front of us. The long-term plans add up to 7 years, and it's a covenant that he is going to make. A total review will come and be completed by December 31st, 2001, of how their 7-year plan is moving, 3.5 years. And it's a covenant with many, and it's for 7 years. And in Daniel, we read last week that he said that the Antichrist would make a covenant with many nations, and it would be a 7-year period. There's just something sitting there. It's just ironic. I'm not saying it's it. I'm just saying it's ironic. The Constitution of Rome sets a headline goal of the year 2010 for all of Solana's civilian and military peacekeeping and peacemaking capabilities to be deployed throughout the world and throughout Europe, ladies and gentlemen. Just all very interesting. No way am I saying he's it. On June 5th, 2000, the Western European Union adopted its Assembly Recommendation 666. The following month, France, one of the 10 Western European Union nations, took over the EU's 6-month rotating presidency. And it was immediately announced that the Assembly of the WEU would become the temporary assembly for the EU's new 10-nation military wing. Keep in mind that this is the same group of people that adopted Recommendation 666. So now they're going to control the military. They're going to control everything. And in Revelation here, we see that all power is brought into the hands. The reins are handed over to this man here in verse 5. And he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And he was given authority to continue for 3.5 years or 42 months. And then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God. And that's it right there. He's going to curse God. And yet, if you're getting dope and you're getting high and you've got the euthanasia bills in, and if you've got a bad leg or you walk with a limp or you're a little too old, they just pull the plug, and you know you can't buy anything or sell anything. They have the tattoo on your hand or your forehead. You know you can't go into a service station without swiping a card, and a camera gets a picture of you, and you go into the store to get some gum, the camera gets a picture of you. You can't get down to Pacific Beach without a camera getting a picture of your license plate. You can't get anywhere without cameras getting you. And we've just let it happen. And so, because of identity fraud, it's been pumped up and pumped up that billions of dollars are being lost. Because when it happens, your insurance company's insurance have to pay all those billions of dollars. They don't want to have credit cards anymore. So they started with your dogs. If your dog would just take this little grain chip the size of a grain of rice to tell your address and your phone number and all of his medical gear and stick it behind his ear or at the nape of his neck, we'll just inject it, he won't feel a thing. That will save you all the trouble. If your dog ever runs away, you don't have to buy a license. But they have been experimenting for the last 3 or 4 years with prisoners in penitentiaries with the same little ID underneath the hand. You see, the hand and the head are the two areas where you get sunlight. So if you need to power this thing, you need heat and you need light. And so the hand would always get light and the forehead would always get light. Now you say, what if I lost my hand? They go to the other hand. Well, you say, what if I lost my other hand? And you walk in without any hands. But you're not going to lose your head. Well, some of you have lost your head now and then. But, you know, I mean, the worst is that somebody come in with your head under their arm. It wouldn't work. Excuse me, what's your ID number? I got it right here. Yes, scan that, please. I'm a little beside myself tonight. Forgive me. Yes, all right. I think you're schizophrenic to the max. Schizo squared. So this guy opened his mouth in blasphemy against God. Now I want you to see three things, and you can take your pen and mark these three in the person sitting on your left-hand side. Here's what he's going to do against God. Blaspheme, number one, his name. Number two, his tabernacle. And number three, those who live in heaven. Would you read that whole verse out loud together? Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. Now, who do you think that is? It's you. It's back to chapter 4. You're gone. And those that are living down here know that you're gone. And those that left are the aliens that left us with all these problems. They're going to come up with some fantastic story that's going to... But you're the problem. The people that left the earth and are living in heaven. It says it right there. It's going to blaspheme them that live in heaven. And they're going to just say, well, we're the normal ones. And whoever the people were that were raptured, as we would see it, they must have been aliens and people from outer space or somewhere a long time ago. And now we've got all these problems because of them. But we, the 666 group, we're going to clear all this up. So the three things, tabernacle, name, and the people living in heaven. So it was granted to him to make war with the saints. Now, throughout the Bible, other than the New Testament, saints are the Christian. Old Testament is Israel. So Israel's still around, and it's still all about Israel. And to overcome them, and then he got this authority over every tribe, tongue, and nation. He now is the Antichrist, the one world leader, and a one world government is here. And all who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So the question is, before we go home now, is your name written in the book of life, the Lamb's book of life? Very important for you to know. I know absolutely my name is in there. I know until I was 26 years old, it was sketchy. Maybe that time when I was 11 or 12 and I knelt down in a Sunday school basement at Montevilla Baptist Church, and I did it because the cute girl sitting next to me was going to do it. And I said, I'll do that if she's going to do that. And maybe he accepted that. But I know when I was 26 that he accepted it. I know my name's there. I know that if the whole thing ended tonight, I know where I'm going. I know it. I don't even worry about that. I'll just... I'll just go. I'll just... Whatever happens when you go, you know what I'm saying? Do you know your name is in this book? Because this is the who's who of heaven. And you want to be in this book. And here's how you get in that book. The Bible simply says, believe in your heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you shall be saved. So you sit here tonight and say, well, hold it. Jesus Christ... how do you say that? Raised from the dead. Okay. Yeah, I remember seeing Mel Gibson's The Passion. I can understand that a little bit. Yeah. But then confess he's Lord. Well, I don't know what that means. You see, the Bible says that no person can say Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Spirit. So if you don't have him in your heart, you can't run around town saying Jesus is Lord. You can't do it. But the minute you say, God, I believe that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, and I ask Jesus to forgive me, I ask you to forgive me of my sins, and Jesus come into my heart, you're going to say Jesus is Lord. We're just going to pray. And some of you have been waiting for years and you've never known it. And some of you have been bound up, and maybe you even have a demon spirit living in you, and that's why you have those headaches, or that's why you always feel so tight, or you get these bursts of anger. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And I'm saying you're free because of Jesus. Not because of the church or religion or the Bible or the book. You're free because Jesus Christ, the Son of God, paid the price for you. That's who's made you free. And if you'll confess your sins, the Bible says, God is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. So let's bow our hearts right now. Okay? Let's all bow our hearts. And feel free just to pray right now. Dear God, I pray you'll forgive me of my sins. Dear God, I believe that Jesus is your Son. I don't understand it, but I'll believe it, and that you raised him from the dead. Dear God, I pray you'd put my name in this book of life. And dear God, I'm sorry that I have blasphemed your name, and I have sinned against your throne, and I haven't been right by your people. So dear God, I pray you'll forgive me, and I pray you'll take this heavy load off of me, Lord, and let me be free like a little child again. Just say that prayer. And dear Father, as these people are saying that prayer, just as one of your sons, I am asking you that you would unleash many people here from the talons of the devil, that you would unleash them from the ropes that have bound their souls. I pray you would release them from the pit of hell and let them have eternal life right now. Father, free them right now. I'm going to ask, as we're praying, all of you that just prayed, I want you to get up out of your seats. This is going to be hard for some of you, but you got to die to that stinking pride. Get up out of your seat and come to the front of the auditorium right now. Everybody that Jesus called in the New Testament, they left the crowd and they came to the front where Jesus was. I want you to just come to him right now. As many as confess me before men, Jesus Christ said, I will confess you before the angels of heaven, my Father in heaven. Come on, just get up right now. But as many as deny me before men, I will deny them before the angels of heaven and my Father. So as everybody has their head bowed and they're praying, those of you that heard God speak to you right now, come on. Come on, more of you. There's more of you. Don't let your pride hold you back. Don't keep following the flesh or the devil or his kids. Get up. Think for yourself. Come on, there's more of you. You're just holding on and holding on. And this night was designed for your soul. It's designed just for you to hear the truth, and the truth will set you free. So come on. Boyfriend, girlfriend, come on. You know it's right. You can't keep living the way you're living. Come right now and surrender to the Lord. And let him bless you and free you. Let him give you the peace that passes all understanding. He has heaven waiting for you right now. So come. Come join these people. Greatest decision, the best decision, the eternal decision. This is it. This is forever. If you were to come tonight and you don't make your decision tonight, you're left behind. You'll be of that crowd cursing those that left. It's the great evacuation. He's calling you right now. Come on. Lord Jesus, as you see these wonderful people that you designed and they hear your voice supernaturally, we're very grateful to you. And we'd like to pray from this little girl to the oldest person standing here that you would have mercy on all their souls. Pray for this mommy with her little baby in her arms, Lord, you would provide everything that they have need of and you just love them. Pray for all these people standing here and others that are going to come, that you'd have mercy on their souls and just free them, not a week from now or a month from now or 5 years from now, but tonight. May they just know the great freedom that the cross has given to them. May you love these people, Lord, and may you honor their step of faith. It was very hard for them to do, but may they just be free. May they just have the scars erased. May the weight of their sin be removed, and may they feel lighter. And may the cleansing just take place, that they'll be fresh as white snow, not soiled any longer. Their memory banks, their brain cells will be clean, and they'll be let loose of habits and attitudes that have held them down. Free them right now, Father. Set them free, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.